everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast slash mental health check-in for two broken brain best friends who sort of talk around their problems, but never about their problems.
Never about them.
While laughing at movies. So before we get to what we're doing, Ben, I feel it's important.
Yeah.
How are you doing, buddy?
Oh, babe. I'm all right, man. Do you remember a few weeks ago where I was like, I'm aiming for beige. I'm aiming for mediocrity.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm trying to get my brain used to at the moment is that if every day is amazing, then no day is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the moment, I'm trying to get a handle on, oh, this is what normal feels like. And it's completely fine to feel this.
Yes.
Because normally when I felt this way before, I'd be sort of like, God, this is a shit day. I know what I'll do.
Yeah, yeah.
A bump of cocaine.
Yeah, and then
it was a great day. But then if every day is a great day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're an addict.
Totally.
It's not a great day.
You're a
functioning
addict. We've all seen that animation.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm getting used to the normal. I've had some great days. I'm having a lot of normal days. I've had some grey days. You know, it's quite nice to sort of be trying to find who you are and where you are and stuff. It's fucking terrifying, but it's fun.
I think I'm in a similar boat. I think there's a phrase I always use when we're talking, and it's like sort of soldiers in peacetime, right?
Yeah.
Trying to do the gardening and just not getting triggered. That's a ridiculous use of the phrase.
But you're constantly on edge because of all the shit you've been like continuously pounded with for the last few years, right?
Yeah, and in the perversest sort of way, kind of missing it because there is just birdsong and there is just peonies and you're like...
Nothing's coming for you.
Yeah, this was a cooler story for me to tell myself when I was being chased by a tiger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now I keep looking around hoping to see a tiger there and there isn't.
Yeah.
And then something legitimately like upsetting will happen and it will be so fucking mundane and normal. And I'm like, well, this shouldn't upset me.
But it makes it more manageable though, doesn't it?
Right, like I used to live paycheck to paycheck in a flat I couldn't afford with like multiple addictions, multiple mental health issues, working in incredibly... Today I put my headphones in the wash and that was enough to spin me.
I mean...
That can't be progress, right?
That is progress because that's a genuinely devastating thing
right,
to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Now you've got the annoyance of having to get new headphones, which to be honest is one of the biggest fuck yous I can think of from my ears to my personal self. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you've also got, you coped with it in a way that wasn't just like, oh, well, fuck this, I'm going to the pub.
right. Yeah.
I knew you back in those days, Rob, and I loved you back then, but you were a different person.
I was more of a cock.
You were the biggest cock. But so was I. I was a fucking mad annoying cock.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved you for it. And I look at you now. And you don't have the multiple addictions. You don't have the paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. You don't have the fucking, you know, the mad shit going on left, right, and center. You just have the multiple mental health issues. And I got to say, buddy, it looks good on you.
Yeah. And also for those of you that might be feeling envious, when Ben says I'm not living paycheck to paycheck, what he means is that the day before payday, I have £8.50 in my account. Rather than minus $2,000.
Buddy, so technicalities.
Right, yeah.
Technicalities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't fucking shit on our dreams because that's essentially where I'm living right now and I'm loving life. You know what I mean? I'm like, I am flush.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can go and get a fucking Vimto chew bar from the corner shop on the last day of the month, fucking yes. Payday rolls around, fuck it, I'm getting two. You know what I mean?
Now, I've got some news for you, Ben.
Go on.
The Empire.
Star Wars?
It's not frozen anymore. It's new.
New, buddy!
And when I say new, I mean we're returning to our old MonsterVerse series and diving into Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
Fuck yeah, man. I do. Yes. I'm so happy to be back here. I fucking love the MonsterVerse. It's turn your brain off, stupid monsters fighting stupid monsters, punchy punchy, dead, dead, dead. Humans don't really matter, but they're there for some reason. Amazing. That's it. And end of film.
Well, it is, but I don't think it always has been. And I'm really curious as to whether you prefer this version of the MonsterVerse to what we had.
Got you.
But before we do that, do you want to give people little summary of what we're doing.
Yes.
We've got it all planned out. We've got a plan.
We've fucking sorted this shit down to a T, mate. We're going to get into why it's the best time in history to be a Godzilla fan right now.
How the hell is Mothra back?
Whether Godzilla has gone from environmental hero to cold-blooded kaiju murderer.
And later in the episode, I'm going to test Ben's kaiju knowledge because I reckon it's probably quite mint.
I doubt it, to be fair, mate. It's been a while. You know what I mean?
Do you know what I felt really good about doing that little summary of what we're going to get into? I went back and listened to the previous episodes that we did.
Ooh, that's never a good one.
On the Monsterverse.
But the listeners should, definitely.
Episodes 127, 129, 131, and 133.
Yeah.
And you're right, I was a different person, and I was in a different place.
Yeah.
And the show was very different. And wow.
That's exactly why I don't listen, man. That's exactly why I don't listen. I can't look back because I look back like even 6 months and I'm like, no. No.
Do you want your first fact about this movie?
Give us the facts, man. Fill me in.
So this is the cheapest MonsterVerse movie they've ever made.
Okay. How much did it cost?
Still 135 million, which is a fucking chunk,
fuck
right?
Me. Okay.
But considerably less.
Yeah.
Turns out, though, it made 564 million, Ben.
Woo!
It was the second highest grossing film of the year.
Godzilla bringing in half a billy. Jesus,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Woo!
And I'm going to say,
yeah.
Well, I mean, like you said,
mm-hmm.
and I agree, this is the best time in history to be a Godzilla fan. We had two movies this year.
Oh, buddy, don't. Because you're on about minus one in Godzilla.
I am Godzilla minus one, the Japanese Toho.
I forgot that I was watching a Godzilla movie for about two-thirds of that film, and I was devastated by everything that was happening. And then just Godzilla, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, Godzilla! Oh, shit, this is where we are. It's not just a horrific tale of wartime in Japan. Fuck. Yeah, both incredible movies, both for very, very different reasons.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Godzilla hyphen the Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh God, this is devastating.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit, yeah.
What fucking song was that? That wasn't what you just did. You went. That's not fucking Godzilla. Stop doing this. Stop doing this.
Yes, it is.
Fuck you.
Dude. I will do another mashup at the end of the episode. Don't
fuck
me,
you, right? Mate. I swear to God, okay. All right, fine.
Okay, you make a good point, though. Look, if you like your movies serious,
mm-hmm.
with, like, subtext, you know, themes of sacrifice in a post-nuclear world, or, like, I don't know, honor only coming at personal cost and survivor's guilt, and, you know, that's Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
If you want to see a monkey with a robot hand twat a lizard in the face, strap yourself in for Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire, baby!
Yes, buddy!
That is all this film will offer. But when I say all this film will offer, it sounds like I'm minimizing it. It's everything this film offers, and it's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
For the benefit of those who haven't seen it, Ben,
Should
we do a spoiler-filled breakdown?
Okay, I need to preface this one, right?
Yeah.
I woke up with a case of the fuck-arounds, realized I hadn't written the breakdown, and then wrote this. So it is spoiler-heavy, it's very, very brief, but also written exactly how I talk. So first off, apologies. Second off, you are welcome, okay?
Yep.
I need the act titles read out in this one, please, buddy.
I've already got it.
There we go.
Highlighted.
There we go.
I made that mistake last episode. Never
right.
again.
Yeah. Come on, then. Let's get to one. You go first.
Proper cheesy, shitty music underneath. Like 80s jingle, like when someone walks into a house and you get the canned applause type shit. You know what I mean? You know, like some...
We're having a breakdown.
Act 1. Where Kong family at? We open to find Kong wandering his Hollow Earth territory, doing his usual routine of killing rat dogs and trying to find a family that doesn't exist. But then, boom! Terror strikes Bad Tooth. Now the loneliest great ape has to go to the fucking dentist. Alone. This is mint. Godzilla is on the surface, stomping through cities, fighting other titans that dare to do what they were born to do.
Think about it.
Like, what's he expecting them to do?
Hey, dick! Don't be big here! There's littles everywhere, and also, this is my house! It's essentially Godzilla in every film.
Yeah, fair. Luckily for Kong, though, there is a mental super vet that could very well be the byproduct of a pound shop Star-Lord fucking an Ace Ventura lookalike, mm-hmm. ready to jump in his giant ape mouth. Didn't have to make it sexy, Ben, all right? It was already sexy enough.
Thank you.
Whilst the super vet dentist sorts Kong's tooth out, Monarch's Hollow Earth facilities have been receiving strange, indecipherable signals from an unknown source. The same time that this has been happening, Gia, the last of the Iwi tribe, has been receiving the same signals. But her ingenious mother, Dr. Andrews, with two PhDs...
Count them two!
And we don't know what they're in.
To be fair, one could be shapes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, obviously not.
Well, right. Two PhDs, but can't spot that the three triangles being drawn by her Iwi daughter and the three triangle signals coming from the unseen source in Hollow Earth are fucking identical. So she asked the metal podcast guy from the last movie to help. He didn't help batter Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, he did.
What? He was on the streets.
For some of it, he was on the streets.
Yeah, on the game.
Yeah.
Godzilla is also feeling this signal, so starts stomping the world to absorb as much radioactive energy as possible.
Act two. Finally. Bad guy. A sinkhole in Hollow Earth opens up near Kong's home, leading to uncharted territory, mm-hmm. or as I like to call it, Hollow Earth.
No, I like to call it Hollow Earth, but with a little two above the hollow.
Ooh, Hollow Earth squared.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Hollow squared Earth.
Ooh, maths.
Yes.
Kong heads down to the Hollow Earth and finds a fuckload of his species. No longer sad solo monkey, but unfortunately, all of his species have been enslaved by a long-armed ginger great ape called Scar King, who is using a crystal to control Shimo, the mother of all titans who caused ice ages on Earth. And he wants to reach the surface to rule there because... for reasons.
Right.
I don't know. There's a Mufasa joke in there somewhere.
You've literally written brackets, Mufasa joke. And what I thought is that there would be...
Don't pull up my fucking spelling mistakes, you cunt. Right? Like, no. I meant Mufasa.
But I thought that you'd written one. You were just like brackets. I was like, oh, he's not written that down, so I don't see it.
No.
This is the only bit of the show that we get to read, right?
This is my brain. You're just reading my inner monologue right now. Oh, I saw you nearly skip past that title then as well, prick.
No, I'm getting there.
Go back.
Yeah, I'm on there.
All right.
Act three. Getting the band back together.
Yeah.
Gia from the Iwi and Ko are in Hollow Earth and discover a lost Iwi tribe. Turns out Gia is the chosen one who can summon a reanimated Mothra to help Godzilla, not fucking murder Kong.
Yeah.
So now Kong on the surface, also he has a robo arm, fucking massive Nintendo power glove thing, tries to get Godzilla to help, but Godzilla has already murdered a few titans in cold blood to charge up his power.
That's the first bit of grammar. It's a callback to last week. You're welcome.
It's cool. Thank you. So he's having none of it and tries to fuck him up. To be fair, he does. Mm. They fight, they beat the fuck out of each other. Mothra and Gia, the Iwi, show up to calm the kids down and get them into Hollow Earth before Scar King, Monkey Lord with the fucking bone whip, and his slave army of Kong's family, we'll get back to that,
okay.
reach the portals to the surface. Now assembled, that's in all caps, I don't know why, you're going to have to give me more details on that.
Avengers.
Earth's Last Hope. AKA the Kaiju Avengers. Okay, there it is. Head back to Hollow Earth to fight Scar King. Unfortunately, they all end up on the surface fighting to the death in Brazil. I mean, if I had a penny for every time I found myself doing that.
I know, right?
Obviously, the Titan team kicks the absolute fuck out of Scar King. Gia becomes the Iwi, but chooses to stay with her barely present adopted mother. I see she shares her IQ. Yeah, two PhDs, Ben.
Yeah, two PhDs. Can't spot three identical triangles from two different sources. Fuck me. What's your PhD in? Swimming. It's called the Frosty's badge, mate. I've got loads of them. I've got four of them.
Oh, I see, Ben. So when a female character is inexplicably stupid in a film, it's somehow film ruining.
Not film ruining.
But when a male character, like Trapper, is inexplicably stupid, he gets a free pass. Misogynist.
What can I say?
Godzilla goes back to... Oh, no. He's joking.
Of course. Godzilla
goes back to protecting the surface and Kong goes back to Hollow Earth. Mothra goes somewhere anyway. Where does she go?
I don't know.
Anyway, the Titan Avengers assembled, broke Brazil, saved the world, and everyone had a fucking roaring good time. That's, for a film which a lot happens in this film.
It does, but also nothing happens in this film.
It's a film without commas, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's just stuff. Just stuff goes on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all sequential and it all means stuff, but then there's tons of weird shit thrown in there. Like, for no reason, the submarine captain knows more than the two PhD absent adopted mother.
He obviously understands triangles, Ben. Look,
I mean,
we spent a lot of last episode saying that Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
This is New Empire, but Frozen Empire was a bad film because lots of stuff just happened and none of it meant anything.
Yes.
And I'm going to say that the reason that this film is one of my favorite of the year is because lots of stuff happens and none of it means anything.
1000%.
And there's some nuance in there to do with intent, right?
There is.
Now,
there is.
In order to get to that, I feel like we need to reestablish some of our findings from the earlier episodes.
Okay.
Right? So, the first Legendary Monsterverse, Godzilla.
Yep.
Great. Set out the map. Set out, this is the universe we're in. It's quite hard-boiled. It's quite edgy.
Yeah, yeah.
Tried to make us care about the humans. We didn't really, but it was fine.
The family dynamic was there. It's Bryan Cranston. Whatever he cares about, you care about. Like, it's like...
Right.
I don't know. It's like a sort of incurable disease. It's Cranston AIDS, right? You catch it. You can't get rid of it. You feel what he feels. That's it. End of.
Then we had... Skull Island.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Kong Skull Island.
Thank you.
Different film.
Thank you.
Right. Which was a Vietnam War movie with kaiju, and it was fucking incredible. And I did care about the
movie. It was amazing.
Right? I absolutely did.
Yes, incredible.
Then King of the Monsters was just all the monsters all the time.
Yeah.
And it was great because we had King Ghidorah, and it was an environmental, we're the virus, the titans are there to rebalance nature.
But you still had the human focus, right? You still had the family dynamics.
Because Millie Bobby Brown was Millie Bobby Bobbin Browning about.
Yeah, she was bopping and weaving. She was doing a thing.
Yeah,
she was trying to get two Christmases out of mom and dad. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Fair fucking play to her.
And then Godzilla versus Kong was like, we discovered something. That we'd been misgendering Kong the entire time.
Yes.
Because we'd been speaking about Kong Dong. Like, where is Kong Dong?
Yeah.
And then we were like, well, maybe they don't have a Kong Dong. And then you were like, what about monkey tits?
Oh, shit. Yeah, we did talk about this.
What about monkey tits? And we then extensively researched how monkeys' tits work.
Yeah.
And discovered that they're only visible when they're pregnant or nursing.
Yeah,
and they're
dude.
Massive then, but otherwise they retract in.
I forgot about this.
So it's actually Queen Kong. And we were expecting Godzilla X Kong, the new empire, to be a rom-com where they're just mooching about.
Now I remember... And we got our hopes up because Godzilla started wearing pink, right?
Right. And we were like, oh, it's happening.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay.
And we were like, how X-rated is it going to be? Like, are we going to see...
Godzilla triple X Kong? Like,
right, exactly. It could have been like, but no, I know I'd wanted it to be really tender and really intimate.
Oh, you wanted like Channel 5 softcore.
Lots of kissing. Right?
Nothing but waist
just
up.
Just more about the emotion. You know?
Oh, okay.
Have it be really like feel almost voyeuristic, like I shouldn't be watching it because this was for them.
Right, they're trauma dumping on each other over a coffee, but in a quiet cafe. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
every now and then the barista comes over to relight a new candle as if to be sort of like, I'll let you have your time. No, I get you. I get the scene.
Do you feel like this film is a suitable alternative to what we dreamed it was going to be?
Yes and no, because I'm not going to lie to you, buddy. I had completely forgotten about monkey tits and the rom-com angle because now I'm genuinely disappointed that didn't happen. But up until right now, I felt fucking amazing about this film.
Right.
I feel like it's taken a very sharp left turn from the previous movies. So as we've just mentioned, the previous Godzilla and the previous Monsterverse movies have had a human focus and they've had very well-written human characters and a human storyline that sort of blends in
with
the
Titan
storyline, right?
Well enough, yeah.
And what they decided to do with this one was, humans are stupid. It makes no fucking sense what they're doing or talking about. We need it for 10 minutes of exposition and the rest is fucking robot monkey arm, massive lizard, Mothra's back, let's fight Scar King. And I tell you what, mate, I have never been so fucking happy for 2 full hours of my entire life. I was grinning ear to ear every minute. I was like, this is stupid. Kong's just used a baby great ape as a fucking club to batter two other great apes. That's amazing. This is the first of his species he's seen ever. And he beats them with a child. It's incredible. Yeah. So the decision's there. Incredible. Hard left turn. Big fan of it. Give me more of this. Incredible.
Good. Because I'm going to come back to Frozen Empire now, like I said I would.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is Frozen Empire expects you to care.
Yes.
And expects you to find meaning in its nonsense.
Yes.
Whereas this is just unrepentantly having fun.
Yeah.
And going, stop thinking.
Yeah.
Stop. You could sit there and go, why is a woman with two PhDs who is the CEO of arguably the most important private company on the planet?
Yeah.
Why is she not better informed? Why is she going on a field mission personally? And why is she taking her child and a random podcaster? And the film very gently and lovingly slaps you on the back of the hand and goes, oi, stop it.
Stop that.
No. Stop thinking.
Every now and then I caught myself trying to be how has this podcaster just wandered into this, I'm assuming, very well-guarded base and has started yelling at people about a shitty research library? I'm like, excuse me, you were in a fucking hovel of a flat in Miami a day ago, and now you're running around a top secret facility going, where's the rest of the research in this library? I had to call in favors from Discord. I'm like, how the fuck are you doing it? And as I was saying this, the film, like you just said, the film sort of snaps you out of it every now and just goes, wait, no, don't do that.
I can see
the cogs turning. There is none. Stop it. Just accept it. Let's move on. All right. I tell you what I'll do. Big monkey.
Tell you what, big monkey's got a bad tooth and they're going to fly over his unconscious body with a sort of Apex Legends style sci-fi helicopter.
Yes.
And then the man in a Hawaiian shirt is going to parasail down
to
on
funk
a giant
music.
Fucking claw to funk music.
Yeah.
Remove his tooth and replace it with a carbon fiber nano weave.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, fair enough. I realize,
that's the dentist I would go to. That's the dentist I would go to.
Yeah.
I'd be into that, man. As soon as he starts playing Kiss, I'd get a little nervous, but I'm into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I wouldn't. And I think the very reason is, okay, this is a slight tangent, but I promise it's relevant, right?
Okay.
I don't think we have enough Olympics.
Right.
I think there should be the Olympics,
sure.
And then there should be the drug Olympics.
We've had this discussion at university when we were both on drugs.
Yeah.
And it's because we were both struggling to clean our respective flats at the time. And we were like, this is an Olympic sport. Like, who can do this?
But I would love to see how fast Usain Bolt goes on meth.
Yes, 1,000%.
Just give him a couple of lines, give him a smoke and bowl, let him run.
So you want to see pro athletes on debilitating on drugs
on all of the PEDs.
Right, okay. So in my mind, I went to the Olympics where it's exclusively heroin addicts trying to clean their kitchen.
Because I would pay
so much money to see that in an arena.
No.
Okay.
So this is all the normal Olympians, they do the Olympics.
Right.
They have a month or two to recover and juice up.
Right.
And then let's see who's who when we're all juiced.
I see.
This is the chemical Olympics. And then I was like, well, that's not fair because the able-bodied athletes get two Olympics. But hear me out. And here's where the dentist from Kong Skull Island comes in.
Right.
The Cyber Paralympics, where any attachment is allowed.
Oh, are you on about like exoskeletal suits like from Elysium and shit?
100%. Let's give Oscar Pistorius some wheels. And not a gun.
Blomkamp's going to take gold at every single one, though. Blomkamp is just gone.
Blomkamp would need to lose some limbs, or I'm saying we could cybernetically enhance the disabled athletes.
Right.
Robot arm. Give them Kong's robot arm.
Upgrade. You're describing the movie Upgrade. It's there fucking insane. All right, yeah, sound. I'm in. Right. 1,000% I'm
in. So I think we should have those four Olympics, and I think I wouldn't trust Trapper if I went for a root canal to not replace my voice box.
Yeah, do it.
For a fucking laugh.
Yeah, do it. If I wake up from I'm expecting a carbon fiber nano weave canine tooth, but I wake up with a squeaky toy instead of a scream, 1,000% that's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, all right, fair enough. You sold me.
Right, I've got a question for you about this film, mate.
Nice, okay, hit me.
We've just mentioned that they take the sharp left turn away from the human storyline and they sort of, they've just...
Yeah, fuck them, no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares.
You can see them out your window.
That's what I mean. But in your opinion, does Godzilla X Kong New Empire, does it suffer for focusing on the Titans more than the humans?
No, because what have I... I've it's not Godzilla's human mates and Kong's eevee surrogate daughter hyphen the New Empire.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not who I'm there to see.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? If I want to see humans, I can go to Cafe Nero and watch some crackheads have a fight. What I want is I want Godzilla and Kong.
Yeah.
And I'm aware that they can't talk to set up exposition. And it would be weird if Godzilla got out his fucking spectacles and pushed them up the bridge of his nose and go, now there's this old tribe that live in Hollow Earth. I'd be like, this is...
Yeah, it's a bit much.
This is weird.
It's a bit much.
Right.
Yeah.
So just give me some 2D people to just yap their mouths and give me the context for why the monkey is twatting the lizard.
Got you.
And I feel like this one is... It's got a real 80s vibe.
It does.
Right? I feel like the Adam Wingard, the director of this movie, has clearly gone... If my dad was like a coked out 80s film producer,
yeah,
and the West had given any sort of a shit about Godzilla in the 80s, what would that film be? Like, it's a neon color palette.
Yeah.
There's Kiss and Loverboy on the soundtrack.
Exactly, yeah.
And
plus Trapper.
Trapper
is every 80s dad. Oh, God, I remember when I was 21. That's Trapper. In every that dad's memory, they're like, yeah, I was that guy.
Yeah.
That's Trapper. Now he goes home to his fucking wife and gets moaned at for not putting the dishes in the dishwasher correctly. You know what I mean? But for a brief moment, they were Trapper.
He sees himself. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And weirdly, and this is going to be an obscure reference for a lot of you because I know this is a film podcast, there was a 90s video game called Primal Rage, which was just monkey
fights. Yeah, it was mint.
Right. Yeah. There is so much of this that reminds me of Primal Rage. And weirdly, there's a scene where Kong's beating the ever-loving shit out of Godzilla, and it's like the animated show Invincible, which is another 80s coded...
Yes.
It's like Saturday afternoon cartoons that used to get in the early 90s, but for the people who would have watched them at the time.
But for dads who get moaned at for not putting the dishes in the dishwasher correctly.
Right, exactly.
There it is.
It's that film, and it scratches that same itch.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that you put it on, and you go, this is the thing that I enjoyed as a kid, but... aged up for me now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would argue that the villain in this is just Lanky Kong from Donkey Kong 64. Because he's not an orangutan. And I do have to disagree with you. These are not... They're chimps, Ben. They're not gorillas.
No, some of them are great apes.
Massive
some
difference.
Some of them are great apes. The slaves are great apes. They're Kong family.
Well, Kong's obviously a great ape.
Yeah, but Kong family, they're the slaves. They're not... All of them aren't chimps.
I thought they were all chimps.
No, because fucking... Sigourney Weaver's not there giving them all a cuddle. She only cuddles like seven of them.
Okay, now that's an obscure reference.
Thank you.
That is an obscure reference. Thank you. Gorillas in the Mist is a fucking obscure reference.
I'm so fucking happy you got that, man.
Do you know the other one that this reminded me of that I hadn't fucking thought of in ages?
If you say Mighty Joe Young, I'm going to be heartbroken.
Absolutely no. What is the film with... It's like a mid-90s film where the villain are white gorillas. It's got Tim Curry in it. It's and Ernie Hudson. Congo.
Fucking Congo. Fuck me. Dude, I haven't thought about that film in years.
Do you know what? I hadn't thought about it in years. And then about 4 or 5 months ago, the television was on. And suddenly Tim Curry fucking walks in and I'm like, oh, hello, bit of Tim Curry. And then the film started happening and I was like, oh, I have seen this.
Yeah.
And it's just fuckers in like animatronic ape suits.
It's fucking...
Just wearing monkey suits. And it is a fucking fever dream of a movie, I tell you.
Mate.
There is so much of that in tone that's in this film.
Yeah, just mindless chaos fun. It's fucking great.
Right, 100%.
The one thing that really fucking irks me about this film, doesn't irk me, but... When it happened, I was like,
Right.
Mothra's back. For how?
Okay. So I'm worried now for your kaiju test later.
Sure.
Because Mothra is always back. Mothra is immortal. So Mothra can lay an egg.
Oh,
I
see.
Her memories get transferred into the new Mothra through the
ether.
Avatar ether.
She's a strong empath.
But they do it weird in this one. So a lot of this film strikes me as like bonus time.
Okay.
I feel like Legendary Pictures were like, cool, we've got these Godzilla movies. Mm-hmm. We've got these King Kong movies. At some point, we should get them to fight. And they were like, yeah, cool, let's do that. And they did Godzilla versus Kong and it was fucking hugely successful and everyone loved it. And then they were like, oh shit, we hadn't thought this far ahead.
Right, okay.
Any film called Godzilla X Kong hyphen the New Empire does not strike me as a particularly well thought out pitch.
I kind of feel like it was an 80s meeting.
Right, yeah.
So what's the idea for the new film? So it's right. Godzilla fighting Kong, also robot arm, Mothra's back, there's pyramids upside down, Hollow Earth, anti-gravity, eewee.
End.
And they were like...
It took them nine hours to get it as short as Godzilla X Kong hyphen the New Empire.
The entire pitch meeting was 48 seconds long. You know what I mean? It was exactly two lines worth of meeting, and then they were gone.
So in February 2021, Adam Wingard, the director of not only the last one but this one, sort of the MonsterVerse guy, he commented on the future of the MonsterVerse, and he said, "I know where we could go potentially with future films. This being one of them at the time."
Yeah.
But he kind of noted that MonsterVerse was created to a certain degree to lead towards Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, of course.
And they kind of hadn't really thought about, like, well, once that's happened, then what? Because Hollow Earth feels like a bit of an end game, and to then find a Hollow Earth under Hollow Earth.
Yeah,
Hollow Earth, this time it's personal.
Yeah.
I feel like by the fourth level, we're going to find those Nazis we talked about in the earlier episodes. But
maybe.
This episode does it weird because she doesn't have a larval stage, Mothra.
She does not. She just fucking appears between two crystal pyramids.
Now, another weird thing is that a lot of that is because of the licensing.
Okay.
So, obviously, Mothra is her own intellectual property that they couldn't guarantee they could get the license for.
Right.
So they'd always wanted it to be Mothra. They were like, it's going to be Mothra.
Right.
And then it looked for a long time like it wasn't going to be Mothra. So they came up with a brand new kaiju called Phosphera.
Okay.
Who was essentially Mothra.
Right.
But looked like a sort of bat-cat thing.
Right.
I don't really know how to describe her except for imagine a cat that's fucked a bat.
Like and a Naga Cougar from Monster Hunter World.
Uh-huh.
Six people are going to get that reference and they're going to fucking lose their mind over it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, okay.
You're welcome. Great. You're welcome.
Well done, guys. I have no fucking clue. possibly. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
All right.
And then at the last minute, they got the rights for Mothra and they had to scrap all the phosphorus stuff from the post-production, put Mothra back in. So I think... they probably would have done Mothra properly, but just because of the way the film shook out,
right?
They were like, well, fuck it. She just comes back grown up.
Okay.
Because we've not written a larval stage in.
Fine.
We've not shot any of that.
Okay.
We're in the edit. Just swap that CG model. Jobs are good.
Again, though, none of this matters. Like, it doesn't take anything away from the film where I'm like, excuse me, she wasn't a larva first. Do you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
The fact
exactly,
that she just appears exactly, exactly. out of thin air between two pyramid tips. Perfect. Fine, I'll accept it. Fuck it, why not? I've accepted that a fucking PhD scientist can't tell three identical triangles are the same fucking shapes.
Yeah, but the weird thing, and the thing that I enjoy, is it kind of understands what the fans do enjoy. So it is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's weird callbacks to earlier films that solve earlier plot holes. So the eewee are all telepathic. They all live in Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
And they're all telepaths, which explains why the one tribe of Iwi that survive on the surface, the one tribe that we see in Kong Skull Island that Gia is from,
yeah.
It explains why they don't speak, because they're all telepathing.
Yeah.
It's not that just they're mute, it's that they've got telepathy, which wasn't previously kind of stated for certain.
It might have been, but you're not telepathic, Rob. You know what I mean? That could very well be in Kong Skull Island. You've just missed it because of your...
Okay, yeah, but speaking of not stated for certain, I need to come back to you on what's this Godzilla's a cold-blooded murderer bullshit?
Right, okay. Hear me out on this one. Because if I'm going to pick a fault with this film, it's going to be this.
Yeah.
Tiamat.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Lovely kaiju.
Gorgeous kaiju, right? Incredible.
Yep.
Tiamat in... this film is just chilling in her house whilst Godzilla is running around the globe, gobbling up all the fucking nuclear energy that he can, right?
Yep.
She's in her house doing nothing. She's just chilling in the Arctic. She's not even swimming around. She's in a fucking icicle. Like she's frozen solid. She's fine. Leave her be. She does nothing.
Yes.
Godzilla swims directly to her house, fucking blasts a nuclear ray in the side of it.
Yep.
She comes out and is like, what the fuck are you doing to my house? Starts fighting him, as she should do, defending her home, you know, from a fucking invasion.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then it cuts to like a bird's eye view of Tiamat just cut up into bits floating to the surface. Godzilla knocked on her door mm-hmm. with a nuclear blast,
yeah.
chopped her up into pieces, and then fucking mm-hmm. moves in to steal yep. her fucking nuclear energy.
Yeah.
We've just witnessed a cold-blooded murder, a B&E, mm-hmm. fucking, there's a sprinkler of domestic violence in there somewhere. There has to be. It's in her house. And it's all uncalled for.
Let's not tarnish Godzilla's good name with DV, right? Okay.
It's all uncalled for. There is nothing.
It's perfectly called for. I'm going to explain it to you.
Okay.
This is the sort of pathetic beta male squawking of a man who has never known war.
Oh, sorry. You're talking about me? Or are you talking about Godzilla yes. right now? Oh, about me. Yeah, that makes sense. Right. That tracks.
Because as far as Godzilla is concerned, this is the fucking end times, all right? This is the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
He's heard the dinner bell ring, but he's not heard
right.
for fucking millennia.
Right.
The ones that nearly fucked him up, the ones that nearly completely took over the planet, they're coming back.
Right, okay.
So he runs over to Tiamat's house. He's like, let me use your charger. It's important.
Right.
And they go, I'll fucking kill you before I let you use my charger.
Right.
And he goes, fine. This is important.
Right.
I need to use your charger. Smacks him about a bit and goes, I'm serious.
Right.
And they go, no, come at me, bro. And he fucking rips their head off.
Right.
And then he uses the charger and then he saves the world. And you sound like a man unable to make the tough decisions.
So all I'm saying is, Rob,
if it's not for Godzilla doing that, we'd all be monkey slaves right now. That's the world you liberals want, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Get that lanky ginger in charge. Like, well, why are we ruling out just because he's got long arms and he's nothing but elbows and knees? What are we saying? That's a bad thing? Because as a beta who is nothing but elbows and knees, I'm saying, you know, I was made in his image. Also, okay. You've just described a very polite interaction. Hey, can I borrow your charger? No, it's my charger. All right, let's fight for it. That's not what happens. He rocks up and goes, nuclear blast, and then she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, murder, murder, murder. My house now. That's
dude,
how it
they're
goes.
They're titans, okay? They communicate differently. We all have different ways of communicating.
Yeah. I'll see to that.
Now, seriously, on a serious note, there's a good friend of ours on social media. I'm going to direct all of our listeners to their account because they arguably are the source for any sort of kaiju or monsterverse or Godzilla-related stuff either way. This is Godzilla.
Yes.
Godzilla with a capital I. Everything else is lowercase and an underscore. You'll see them. They've got a very cute profile picture in there. Godzilla brackets kaiju.
I love this guy.
They sent over some research material for us because we've always followed them. They followed us. I love their stuff. They enjoy our stuff. And bonus fact, it's their birthday on the day that we're recording this.
Hey, happy birthday, Godzilla.
Happy birthday. And they sent us, I asked them to kind of send over some thoughts for this episode because, again, we're not as informed as they are.
Yeah, of course.
And they sent us this. Do you want me to read it to you?
Yes, please.
In the 2024 Godzilla X Kong movie, the director harkened back to goofy, kid-friendly notes and provided several scenes in the movie where the human element is non-existent. And I'm here for it. The action, crazy battles, and goofy floating monster fighting are out of control much of the time. It was a popcorn movie if there ever was one. It's been a massive success in the States and globally. The box office is nearing $569 million in global take, and it can surpass the Kong Skull Island MonsterVerse, released in 2017. Of course, this is all in the face of critics who suggested the movie is horrible. The question remains, however, for the ever-growing franchise and its rabid fans, will there come a tipping point? Will the movies, animated series, and products reach critical mass, or are we simply witnessing the monster getting his due? We've yet to see the kaiju series falter for over 10 years. Let's see what happens next. It's bound to be monstrous one way or the other.
Everyone listening right now, go and follow Godzilla on Instagram. It's Godzilla, capital I, and it's got an underscore at the end. Fucking incredible account. You learn something new every day. Okay, what do you want to see in the sequels?
Oh, I've thought about this because there is another one coming. There is another one coming. So this one was so successful financially. Half a bill for some CGI monsters twatting each other. Incredible.
Mate, Godzilla on half a billy. Unreal.
So David Callahan, who's one of the writers on the Spider-Verse movies, is in the script stages at the moment. Now, there are a couple things I'm going to need from the next one because we have jumped the shark at this point. Like we are.
Oh, 1,000%. Right? Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to need Kongmobile.
Nice.
Like Batmobile, but for Kong.
Or the Spider-Mobile.
Spider Machine GP7. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one, the GP7 from Spider-Man.
Now, I don't know the ethics of how you get a car of a suitable size for King Kong that he can drive anywhere without flattening population centres.
Moon Rover, but massive.
it's just
monkey monster truck.
Right, okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I thought you meant like a hovercraft, so he's just causing hurricanes as he drives to work.
Hovercraft could be good. That makes way more sense. Hovercraft, obviously. What are we doing?
Yeah. And then so he's got a means of getting about.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla obviously needs another power upgrade. He can't murder a Tiamat every time he needs one of those.
No, he fucking can't.
So my suggestion is we give him a gun.
Ooh.
Or a sword.
Ooh.
Fucking give him a samurai sword. Keep it thematic.
Buddy, I've got one better than this. Give him a fucking gunblade.
What, from Final Fantasy VIII?
Squall's gunblade. Let's fucking see that in Godzilla's hands.
Now that's a joke only two people will get. And you're welcome.
You're fucking welcome. All right? We've included you. You're welcome.
What about you, buddy? What about you?
All right, so we've jumped the shark. We are into sort of like some mad shit territory right now, and anything and everything is on the table, which I love. But I also think that when you've got limitless possibilities, you need to sort of set the background a little bit. I want to peek beyond the curtain.
You want a reduction of stakes.
I do. I want to see Godzilla file his taxes. I want to see him sort his financial admin out. You know what I mean? I want him to look at his gambling debts and be like, can I afford to put another 20 into the pachinko machine this week? That's what I want to see. And then on the flip side of that, I'd love to see the process of Kong approaching the DVLA to get his license approved. And how comically big that would need to be to fit in Kong's wallet. You know what I mean?
So you'd have King Kong.
Yeah.
In the DMV or the DVLA.
Yeah.
Next to, I'm going to say, the monster from Jeepers Creepers.
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. He needs to renew his license. Yeah.
We're talking inexplicable driver's licenses. Yeah, I think definitely. Those two.
Spider-Man is on the ceiling.
For those of you unaware, we covered Japanese Spider-Man, another kaiju-tastic.
Oh, it's incredible. It's fucking amazing.
I mean, it's the only kaiju series that I think that makes less sense than this film.
Oh, 1,000%.
1,000%.
And the fact that it's like genuinely recognized by Marvel is incredible. It's one of the greatest things that it's how we know we're in the best timeline. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%. Okay, I could go for a reductions of stakes.
Yeah.
I feel like they need to go personal stakes rather than intergalactic. Because that's the only way you go, we've threatened the world.
Yeah, of course.
With King Ghidorah. We've threatened the world with Scar King.
Yeah.
I feel like it either now needs to be aliens.
Ooh.
And it's the Earth Titans against Alien Titans.
Oh my shit, don't do that. It just gave me goosebumps. Hold on one sec.
Or it needs to be personal stakes where, like, Kong gets leukemia.
Jesus Christ.
And like Godzilla's got to find a cure.
Godzilla's got to find a cure. Fuck off. It turns out that Godzilla's radiation blast is Kong's chemo. Fuck, I want that film so bad.
And then during the process of Godzilla providing the chemo to Kong, they have a chat about gender. They realize that they're compatible. And it's the rom-com.
It's the bag of Zilla nuke blast that brings them together.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
This is it. Because he's not been, like, they've not called Kong King Kong before.
Right.
Because it's only defeating Scar King in this one.
Oh.
It's been Kong all the time.
It is, isn't it? Dude. Who do we write to get this shit happening, man?
Adam Wingard. I think we get a script together on the Discord. Or on our socials, and you know.
I mean, fuck it. We've written a script. Our script is being made, mate.
If you want to contribute to Godzilla XXX Kong, email us at everymovieeveruk@gmail.com. And get on board. Get on board this gravy train because we're going to make millions. And I think it's going to be called Godzilla XXX Kong.
ICU.
Hyphen.
But spelled But I it's written you. Like I-C-S-E-E-U, as if to be sort of like, I see yeah, you, okay. But then also intensive care unit because of the chemo. See?
Yeah, all right, Bojack.
Fuck you, it's romantic.
Before we rate this yeah. movie, I don't feel like the listeners are in much suspense as to what we're rating this gorgeous piece of
absolute
film.
Nonsense.
Two things.
Okay.
Two things. You know when they have a fight at the pyramids? Yes. Never guess what headline I saw on the Smithsonian magazine.
What's that?
Scientists are investigating a puzzling underground anomaly near the Giza pyramids.
Stop the front door.
We believe we found an anomaly, a combination of shallow structure connected to a deeper structure.
Hollow Earth!
Right. There we go.
Is Adam Wingard in like some fucking secret society that he just knows what's going on? Because Hollow Earth is like an odd concept to just throw into a big Hollywood release movie and everyone goes, oh, that's fun.
I feel like this franchise, the MonsterVerse franchise, is at the forefront of disclosure.
It has to be.
I feel like this is what holding our hand into the new empire.
1,000%. Let's get us in on that, man. Fucking show me the new empire dentists. Where are my fucking carbon weave teeth? You know what I mean?
And then perhaps more importantly, do you want to play a game?
Yes, please, buddy. Oh, no, it's the kaiju knowledge, innit? Okay. Yeah, kind of.
Okay. All right. So this is good, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to describe a couple of kaiju to you.
All right.
You just have to tell me if they're real Godzilla kaiju or if they're
specifically in the Godzilla universe or whether they're just real kaiju.
I mean, define real kaiju, Ben.
Fair point.
Right, okay.
All right.
Number one.
Okay, go on.
The Beta Beast is an alien monster from an unknown planet that is able to fire a jet of flame from an orifice at the top of its head. The bulbous extremities that terminate each of its tentacles are able to fire powerful darts.
Oh. I mean, I can only get so erect, and that sounds fucking incredible. So I didn't hear the last few words of that sentence, but also...
Involved darts. The gentleman's sport. The most athletic of sports.
The most sigma of sports.
That's the most beta of sports. It's the beta beast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm getting my alphas mixed up. True? That's real,
That's
right?
That's real. That appeared in Marvel's 1979 comic run, King of the Monsters, issue 12.
Excellent.
Right.
Definitely jumping on eBay for that one later.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Okay. Kabuton has the appearance of a brown anthropomorphic rhinoceros beetle. He is shown with a yellow chest with metal plates on the abs, and his pincers and horn are made of metal.
Okay.
He also has a blade for a left hand. By using a blue diamond, he can fire a stronger laser beam when he opens his right breastplate.
All of this sounds incredible. It sounds like the best Pokemon card that exists.
Right.
Right tit beam. 300 damage. Yeah, I'm going to say true again, man.
Okay, this is a slight misdirect because it's a real kaiju.
What does that mean, Rob? Define real kaiju.
But it's from Japanese Spider-Man.
See?
It's a machine, Bem. Faced off again.
This is what I was saying. This is the exact point that I made. Are we talking...
You've wandered right into my trap, Tiamat.
Fuck you. You're not using my charger.
Gororin appears to simply be a cactus ball small enough to be held in your hand. It has dark green and blue skin and spines all over its body.
Right.
Gororin has two small yellow eyes that can appear and can grow to the size of Godzilla, attacking with its spines.
Okay, well, this sounds like the cutest version of a cactor from Final Fantasy that I've ever fucking heard in my entire life.
Right.
Sign me up for this one immediately. I'm going to say true. I don't think it is.
You are so right.
Is it actually?
It is.
Mate, I'm getting in on that one immediately.
Gororin.
I'm in.
G-O-R-O-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
It's a genuine original Toho kaiju.
Amazing.
And appeared on Godzilla Island.
Okay.
Episode 180. I must know the secret.
Sign me in.
There we go. Right, you ready for your last one?
Hit me with it, buddy.
You've done incredibly so far.
Thanks, man.
Large and bulky, Knifehead is a heavily built kaiju. Its most notable feature is its long and broad, sharp nose, which can easily cut through armor. Atop the center of its head is a blowhole that forcefully expels air whenever it resurfaces from the water. It is similar to a goblin shark in appearance.
Okay, again, I'm desperate for this to be true.
Knifehead?
I feel like it could be true, but I don't think it's in Godzilla.
Oh, okay, where are you going to go?
I'm going to lean towards something like fucking the Japanese Spider-Man thing again. It sounds like the Machine Bem all over again. You know what I mean? The giant swordfish. It, yeah,
it does.
It's Godzilla though, isn't it?
It's Pacific Rim.
Oh! I've never seen Pacific Rim, but okay. I'm feeling into it. I've never seen them. Come on.
But, okay, so you like Pan's Labyrinth?
Sure.
You like Neon Genesis Evangelion? Well, you sure did back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And you like kaiju.
Yeah.
So, but something that's all three of those things, you're like, I'll pass.
Rob, I am a 35-year-old man. I'm very busy. I've got important stuff to take care of.
Did you watch any films?
Yeah, I watched two today.
Yeah, what films did you watch?
Tremors 2 and Tremors 4 on VHS.
Right, fuck off.
But then Killer Clowns from Outer Space came out today as well, so I've been playing that.
Oh, let me guess. Is it a game?
Yes, it is.
Okay, let me guess. I've never seen it before. Is it an asymmetric hunt game similar to Evolve or Left 4 Dead or Friday the 13th or Evil Dead or Dead by Daylight?
It's an asymmetrical horror game, yes. And it it's essentially...
Let me guess. This one's 5v3 though, so it's totally different.
No, dick. It's 3v7, so it is different. It's essentially Friday the 30th and DBD mixed together. It's fucking mint.
Right, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm a busy man. I don't have time for Pacific Rim. All right.
Well, what are you rating Godzilla X Kong The New Empire then?
3. I'm joking, Fat 10. Obviously Fat 10. Dude, the speed that your arsehole just prolapsed then made your face tense up in a way
I'm going to just start putting lumps of coal up my ass. When you do stuff like that, the pressure of me squeezing my bumhole creates diamonds.
Oh,
and at least I get a payday out of these shit jokes.
Definitely.
Where you're like,
shitty diamonds, mate. Let's get them sold. Shitty diamonds. Get in touch with us now if you would like to be pre-subscribed to Rob's Shitty Diamonds.
Yeah, yeah. Email us at everymovieeveruk@gmail.com with the headline... Bum gems.
Bum gems.
And bum just, gems.
If there's any more in the email other than yes, please, it won't get read. Just putting that one out there.
Fine. Yeah.
There you go. What are you rating it?
Oh, Fat 10, obviously. Jesus.
Yeah, obviously. All right.
Jesus.
We didn't need to do that this week. Come on.
We didn't. Like, come on. Like, the episode itself betrayed our thoughts.
Honestly. Delicious nonsense. Go and fucking watch this film. It's delicious. Yes, please. Let's do it.
Okay, I've got a new habit now because I keep telling people, it's going to go in Comic Corner. And then we get to this point of the week and I've fully fucking forgotten.
Okay.
So what I do now is I take a screenshot and I send it to you.
Oh, okay.
And then I can just go into our folder and find...
Let's do it.
This is brilliant. Sean Weston got in touch. Lovely to hear from you, Sean.
Hello, Sean.
So in Little Shop of Horrors, we did a little reel about Little Shop of Horrors and about the sight gag where Seymour goes to the radio show and he sat in the waiting room to be on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat next to the next guest, and the next guest is a ventriloquist.
For the radio
and
show.
You and I both had a laugh about the fact that what is ventriloquism
fucking genius
on a radio show? It's just putting on a voice, right?
Yeah, hilarious.
Right. Sean Weston got in touch with a little Wikipedia link.
Okay.
Peter Brough, 26th of February 1916, died in 1999.
Okay.
Was an English radio ventriloquist who became a well-known name to audiences in the 1950s. This guy had a full career doing ventriloquism on the radio.
On the fucking radio, mate.
And then it gets better.
Go
Sean,
on.
Let us know. Apparently, he went on a TV show when TV started broadcasting,
yeah,
and he was dog shit.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
He just talked and sometimes forgot to even make the dummy move.
Oh my God, I love that so fucking much. This guy is essentially a snake oil salesman who everybody went, yes, we love that snake oil. What does it do? And he's like, oil snakes? Incredible. That's fucking
Sean,
incredible.
Thank you so, so much for getting in touch. That is exactly the sort of juice that... Ben and I would bring if we were better podcasters, but do you know what?
We're busy.
We're good enough.
You know what I mean?
Busy.
Tremors 2 and 4 on VHS. They're not going to watch themselves. It's a hard life. Someone's got to live it. All right, let's just move on. Let's not question it. All right.
We've got a YouTube video coming up soon. We're aware we've been away for a while. We're just working on what we want it to be, how it's going to do. We're going to do fewer videos, but they're going to be longer researched, better put together, and a little bit more, you know, video first.
Yeah, it's going to be a standalone.
Doing one a week was murdering us, even with the lovely talent of Anthony, the video editor.
God bless Anthony for keeping up for as long as he did, but fuck me, mate, it was exhausting. It was way too much. So what we're going to do now is we're going to make standalone YouTube content that is bonus from the podcast. So if you enjoy the podcast, head over to the YouTube. There will be a video there that's not necessarily related to the podcast, but, you know, same vibe, same feel, same us, same you. Go fucking subscribe. Unfortunately, guys, that is all the time we've got for this week. Thank you so fucking much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here with you today.
It always is and always has been. Ben is going to thank you for the time that you spent with us this week. I know a lot of you, you know, you spent an hour of your time with us, and a lot of you, that's at the start of the week. You know, it's Monday. So Ben's going to boil down the themes, thoughts, and feelings of this film into a little Monday motivational speech while I cosplay a society and just tell you to consume.
Look, it's Monday. Everyone's a little low on juice. Everyone could use a little bit of a pick-me-up. And may I say, the answer that we found in this film is crime! Murder your neighbor, steal their house, get their fucking chargers, buddy! Godzilla gets away with it scot-free, and then he sleeps in a fucking Roman house. You see what I mean?